So you're lucky, because I don't have to introduce myself. You've already heard the introduction. pretty much what we've tried to organize during this session is a panel that gives you a continuum of information. So you've heard the foundation around the pathways model itself. You've heard how we've had a pilot to demonstrate whether or not it made sense to have certification as part of the model's evolution. And we think that it has. The evidence that we've collected, or the data that we've collected as part of the evaluation, seems to support that. Now we're at the point in the model's development and evolution where we're focusing on scaling it up. And we'll need to do a lot of research around that. So let me just, before I start talking too much, say that I don't have any relationships to disclose, and that what I want to just highlight are further the need for standardized and care coordination methods. Talk just briefly about the unique features of the Pathways Hub model, because it underscores why we're looking at certification. Talk just a bit about the benefits of certification. Talk, share a perspective about the lessons learned, which they won't duplicate what either Annette or Sarah have mentioned thus far. And then I have some of my own policy implications that will augment what Annette has shared. So part of the impetus behind even looking at a way to improve care coordination is based on our earlier work that ARC sponsored, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. Because as we were trying to define care coordination, we came up with a technical report that I forgot how many pages it is, but it has lots and lots and lots of definitions on what care coordination is. There's the disease management model, there's the transitions of care model. Did they mention community care coordination? I'm not sure. But that's where our unique niche is. You know, there isn't, to my recall, in that technical report, a model that is highlighted and referenced to focus on social determinants. So here again, this Pathways Community Hub model is unique in that regard. Most of the models that are in that publication should be focused on trying to reduce the duplication of services, although they're not structured like the Pathways Community Hub model to accomplish that. We certainly can speak to it. And we can also speak to how the hub model addresses inefficiencies in health system performance, because it is a performance-based model. And certainly, we can look at ways in which we are focused on trying to reduce the costly, to reduce the waste of costly resources. So, and you've heard some of this already. Pathways model is an integrated and collaborative model that addresses social determinants. Most models don't talk about its structure or infrastructure from a network perspective, but that's what the Pathways model is. And because it separates, and I think Sarah in her discussion talked about the need for the hub to be a neutral entity so that it can, you know, be a step higher and look at all of the activities of the care coordination agencies that are coming together, its collaborative partners that are bringing the extra capacity to basically serve those who are most at risk. And there isn't any single entity that can do that. That is why, if there were, I mean, if truly if there were one entity that could do it, we wouldn't see so many people falling through the cracks. And so this model actually is kind of like the glue. It has some glue so that it can kind of weave some of its netting between the providers so that it provides that extra safety net for people who are in need of various types of services. The other piece is that we spend a lot of time focusing on how we get an individual from point A to B, and A being from one evidence-based type of care to another. And it's not always on the health side. Sometimes it's on the social service side. Because, you know, where one lives and the environment in which they live and the exposures that they encompass, that probably triggers more that gets them into the health setting than the opposite. Although you can be in the hospital setting and you can have exposure to certain other risks there that might keep you there, or you have to go somewhere else. But, you know, looking at, you know, how the absence of income, the absence of food, of safe and secure housing, all of that impacts an individual's well-being. It's something that a community health worker or care coordinator would look at. And it's part of the assessment that Sarah talked about earlier in her presentation. So when we look at our model, which is probably different than how other models are viewed, we look at what happens at the individual level, we look at what happens at the organizational level, and we look at what happens at the network level. A lot of studies need to happen because we can't say at this juncture what the impact is of this model on multiple regions because we haven't had that kind of a comprehensive study done. We have seen prior to certification that the hub model has made a difference in terms of reducing infant mortality in County X. But wouldn't it be great to say that we have looked at the performance of the Pathways Community Hub model in X number of states and X number of counties, and we're able to say this is what is happening at this level with this population. That is the kind of implication that this model has for research. You know, it also employs community health workers. And I'm not going to say that there aren't other models that use community health workers. But again, we have this tiered approach. So what are the implications or impacts of community health workers working with an individual, a family, a household within a particular organization times however many families this organization serves, times however many hubs are in a region, well, not region, in a state. Because it should be only one hub per region. Because again, we're trying to minimize duplication. Because there's a need for others to learn about the hub and its abilities or capacity to address the needs of various populations, we need studies on the best dissemination opportunities. Because that's part of what we need to investigate in terms of scale up and spread. Should we be looking at county-based approaches? Should we be looking at state-based approaches? Or should this just be a national thing? And if it's any of those approaches, how might we best do that? Is it through legislation? Is it through grants? Is it through contracts? How do we need to do that? So lots of study potential and opportunities are needed to best show how we scale up this model. Because we already know from the earlier work of the Reddings, we know also from other spin-off studies that WESDAT has also been involved in, and we also know from the certification initiative that the certification program it provides a framework for standardizing how care coordination gets done. And we already know that is definitely something that is needed because of the fragmentation and the different definitions and the lack of a consistent way of measuring it, and because of the push for the pay for performance, all of this accountability. And what's interesting is, you know, the mindset had already been there for accountability prior to the passage of the Accountable Care Act. So we're ahead of ourselves on this one. And we've already thought about tools. And I'm kind of chiming in your turf, Sarah. You know, when I say I know that you and Mark were already doing this. But the metrics and the mechanisms, you know, to evaluate this. We have some things in place that are necessary to provide even further evidence about the effectiveness of this model. So we know that those kinds of pieces of information is necessary. We know as we scale this model up, which is what we want to do, that we're going to use some of those things. But we also need people who understand how the model can be implemented to help communicate and disseminate information to key decision makers that this is something you should try, even if you do it on a small scale, and then scale it up. You know, if we continue to embrace IHI's mantra, which talks about better care, better outcomes at lower costs, then we're going to have to do more than just, you know, be a parrot to that. We have to actually roll up our sleeves and put things into action to make that happen. And care coordination is something that often gets overlooked. I'm not sure I know why, because it's very important. But it isn't in the space that gets looked at and researched as much as other types of interventions, I don't think. So we need to make a difference in that area and get decision makers to understand that this should also be a research priority that has dollars attached to it so that we can better understand how this should be promoted as something that's scaled up and used in various communities. let me just get some water. And I'm not going to keep you much longer. But part of our vision as we move forward, and when I say we, each of the organizations that were part of the original pilot program, plus CCS, wants to move forward to expand the implementation of the Pathways model. And to help us with some of the research, we want to collaborate on how data gets collected and analyzed. We're mostly interested in looking at what happens across individual hubs, what happens at the state level, and then what happens nationally in terms of performance data. So we're not likely to violate any HIPAA regulations because we don't really need to see the individual client level data, but we would like to know once we reach our goal of 1,000 hubs by the year 2020 that this is the impact we're making. I would like to see 1,000 hubs by 2020. You, each one of you in this room can help me do that. I think that, you know, the last bullet on this page is the one I want to pay most attention to. And I want to just highlight that the network that gets created at the national level is really, really important, because that is what will, I think, drive the kind of information that I think policymakers and other decision makers will need to see in terms of wanting to support the kind of scale up and spread that I'm talking about. 1,000 hubs by 2020 is really a small number if you think about it, because how many counties do you have in the country? Yeah, you know, you've got a lot of counties. So if you look at in Ohio, you have one hub in Mansfield, and that Mansfield comprises how many counties?
15.
Okay. And then in Toledo, you have, that's not the county, Lucas County, mm-hmm. That's one county, right? And there's one hub. So it's not like that's such a huge number, really, right? It's accomplishable.
And Georgia has 159 counties.
Huh? Georgia has
159 counties. How many altogether do you know?
No, but she just was, and that was just saying Georgia has 159 counties. So. How many hubs do we have now?
Nine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that. That nine comes from just 3 years of hand-selecting that number to participate in a pilot.
Yeah. They can duplicate.
Yes. Sounds like you want to come on board to do that, help do that. But, you know, the reality is we do need more data. We need to heighten awareness about the model. And, you know, we need help doing that. Let me just stop and see if you have any questions. Daryl?
I was just going to mention that one of the things about the Pathways model that is so good, yet so underreported, is the savings. I mean, when you're focusing on outcomes and you're getting people housed, you're getting people employed, you're getting people access to health care and primary care, I mean, all of that we do is costs at a societal level, but so far we really haven't been able to demonstrate that. And I think it's unfortunate that everything has to have dollar signs on it, but I think once we're able to demonstrate the cost savings of the Pathways model, that this will catch on with wildfire. It's just, we haven't gotten there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're thinking with the health systems, like here in Chicago, we have these big hospitals, and the hospitals are open and connected to it. If within every health system you have, I don't know how many hospitals, you have a hub or something like this. And this health system will cover all of that, and the resilience will be maybe better. And something like it also may work.
But when it's working with, I mean, actually using the pathway system, but not the phone, because you have to put a description and they shouldn't provide services to the app.
Oh.
So there's the problem. So when you're a health system, it's really hard not to provide services. So for example, we have an ACO that is utilizing the pathway test. We're doing a lot of care coordination about six hospitals, 250 docs, and stuff like that. But they're not a hub. We have to try to build a hub above that to be able to be accredited. But it's tricky with you.
Yeah, and the name, you know, everybody uses a different name. Because I was on this with the health of my own change. This was 4 years ago, and they were starting it with all the care coordination of the hospital. And we were on the team, and they were, you know, we tried to collect all the information. We were in the beginning of that. But that's why, and then they started all joining, the hospital joining together and bringing these big offices. I don't know, maybe one day we'll have only one health system.
But are you?
Yeah. A health department, I think you talked about this in Ohio. The health department can't even have because they provide services.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the definition of.
Oh. That's the thing, you know, the name is.
But I want to pick.
The health department can't be a care coordination
agency.
Can be an agency,
right.
But not a
hub. Mm-hmm. I just want to piggyback on something you said, Daryl, because, you know, pointing out the cost savings is important. And what I failed to mention is I had three things that I thought should be a part of what we highlight. And you may have covered some of this already, Annette, as part of the policy implications. You know, it is a performance-based model.
Yeah.
So since we are in an era of accountable care, then there should be a push, mm-hmm. you know, from a policy perspective, that we should marry care coordination and performance management. And that there should be a more, I guess, priority or more of a requirement that there be a systematic care coordination method used wherever it's used, whether it's in a hospital-based, community-based, you know, I think that's, I don't think that we are in the industry focused enough on that. That's why it's so very loose. In terms of how care coordination is being implemented, because there's not an insistence that it be performance-based, that it be standardized, that it be systematized. And then I think this goes along with what you said, Daryl, that there should be the adoption of a value-based care coordination approach nationally. So that was the only other thing I wanted to mention.
Once you get with the money,
yes.
It'll work.
Yes. I'm sorry, I think you had something.
We very much like to have Health Mija Minnesota, which is the program layer. And it seems like one of the drivers, and you've mentioned, that would really encourage the wider adoption of pathways is the growth in patient-centered medical homes. And those do have a requirement.
Yes.
For their patient panel, but they tend to be pretty medically focused and have some limits, a lot of them, as to how far they can go outside the walls of the clinic or the hospital. And so it does seem like a real, you know, potentially certain health plans can see the value of this, but patient-centered medical homes that more and more are going to be called on to get these better outcomes. But they don't have the tools that they have to do that. You know, and I think I'm also hearing, you know, it's kind of a tension. On the one hand, a lot of organization systems, they want the turnkey operation. In many ways, that's what it is. It's very flexible, but it's a structure and framework. But then there's also a little bit of inventing it on your own. So those are the two tensions. But it just seems like it's while the patient-centered medical home spread across the country. We're a little further ahead than sort of, you know, earlier health reform legislation in 2010 that got it all rolling. We have over 385 healthcare, certified healthcare homes in the state. They all have a care coordinator.
In Minnesota?
In Minnesota. So that there's no requirement for a care coordinator needs to be discipline agnostic. And I think just another great opportunity.
You reminded me because I was a coach for a patient that took the diploma for the asthma. So it is the for the asthma project, and then there was a consulting company, and I was a coach for five health centers. So they're, and they're linking them, and one of them is government of a food company. So it's only they're piloting it for asthma. And now we do the patient centered medical home, and the care coordination is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's the thing. There's always the bits and pieces in every place.
Mm-hmm.
There's all fragmentation, mm-hmm. and there's no connection. That's why the standardization, I don't know when we'll reach that.
What we're really doing is reproducing the disaster of electronic medical records.
Oh.
Because patients that are medical homes are pushing a system called PAPT, which is a data system.
Data system?
Not based on pathways, which is the way that they have to go.
Yeah.
And there's another system that's the AIR, which is the Agencies on Aging.
Yeah,
separate. Yeah. At the end, it's not so very far out. We're going to have six different care coordination systems, which may or may not want to relate to a hub,
yeah.
but aren't going to be able to do all the other things that Brenda outlined.
Actually, that's a very important because the electronic health record is very important. If they're not all connected, because each hospital are using a different application from the So that's the other thing. How would you connect all of that together?
Sarah, do you want to?
The health records thing?
I can't do that.
Yeah.
No, but no, I do think. I mean, we're actually working with in people that are looking at how you
You can connect them with that. Yeah,
you know. They're better just going to be able to think with them, so we just have to be able
to be
share the necessary data.
Yeah.
I want to thank you all for all of your wonderful contributions to this discussion. And I also want to extend regrets on behalf of Dr. Ree, who was not able to attend due to a personal emergency. So, you know, again, thank you for all of your thoughtful input. And, you know, we're just wanting to take on the world with the Pathways Certification program. And if you have other ideas about Scale Up and Spread, please feel free to contact me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.